This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It changed the face of Supercross. I mean, really, the motocross. And not that we go like, okay, all of a sudden he's out of the title. You know, he's not racing. But what it did was it allowed everyone to believe again. He's like the kid that you pick on in school and you call him ugly and you steal his lunch money. And then he'd be like, next time you go to steal his lunch money, and he just hands it to you. Just avoid the drama. And then eventually you're going to be like, whatever, I'm not even going to mess with Duke because it doesn't bother him. Well, the KTM allows, because of the rebound, because of the way that bike works, it slows things down for Chase. And I think that's why, I actually don't think, I know that's why he doesn't hit the ground as much as he does.
Little James, Bubba,
Duck to you, and the AMA Hall of Fame.
But Stewart has found a way to redefine this whole race course.
Oh, my goodness.
Fastest guy I've ever seen on a bike.
He'll win his second world championship.
You can call him whatever you want. He'll still kick your ass every Sunday.
What's up, guys? You know who it is, your boy JS7. And you know where we at? We at the Rewind Show, baby, from round 2, Hangtown, California. Well, we witnessed a lot. We witnessed one of the greatest rides that we've all seen over years, one that I've seen in a long time, Chase Sexton. But coming into this weekend, was the streak going to continue? Jet Lawrence went 24-0, kept dominating. Hunter Lawrence was right there. Chase Sexton, he's right there working on the bike. And then you saw Hayden Deegan, those guys fall into the danger zone. We saw Green Leopard and Levi Kitchen with Joe Shimoda and all those other guys come back. Well, we found out this weekend in Hangtown, we found out a lot. The streak did not continue. So you know what we got to do. Let's break it down. Hangtown, round 2. Let's do it, people. This week in Hangtown, the biggest change was a change of the racetrack. They changed it up quite a bit, which I thought was better because it opened up a lot more opportunities for passing. Instead of the finish line, you go past finish line, have the 180s, switchbacks, and then you get up to that big top. They used to go down and do a 180 and go back into a gnarly off camber. And off camber that my teammate, Mr. Dirty Dog, Tim Ferry, kind of almost took me out back in the day, 2007. Still don't know why he did it, but he did it. So they switched it up and they went straight downhill, which made it for a gnarly, gnarly downhill. So I thought overall, the riders were adjusting to the track. I would have liked it just because, again, it was more of a, it was motocross, but it just opened up the track quite a bit to where you can, you know, stay off the brakes, you know, charge down the hills. And we saw a lot more passing at Hangtown than I think we did in the past. And all that was done because the track crew switched it up. It's a pretty big change when guys do this. And when you come to these tracks, the layouts have always been the same for 40, 50 years, it seems like. So for them to do that, I think it's got to get a kudos to them, AMA, the Dirt Diggers, and everybody a part of this for making that change. It was definitely worth it, and it played out this weekend. So coming in this weekend, the talk was all about, one, Jet Lawrence in the streak. He won 24 in a row, and it looked like after practice, he looked pretty comfortable. It was going to be 25-0. And last weekend, Chase Sexton didn't get the best of starts. He got a better start in second moto, but it's not starting in front of Jet Lawrence is going to be hard. And I broke down on the show of how the Hondas are really good. Their acceleration, but the Hondas are really good off the start. Well, first moto gate drop, both Hondas, bang, out front. And it just looked like from practice, Jet Lawrence being a second faster, Chase, he was still stuck on the gate. I don't know if he's been riding with Joe Shimoda, but Chase can't get off the gate. While he was stuck on the gate, those guys were out front. Chase was running around like 10th. And we're just thinking, all right, it's going to be the same thing. Jet Lawrence is going to be up front, get a couple laps, and then pull away. And Chase probably could make his way up. But to make that gap, it was going to be hard. Well, they go down one of the changes. Everything looks good. Jet Lawrence was hitting his triple in the middle part of the track during practice. It was pretty cool. It wasn't necessarily that the triple was cool, but when he was jumping a triple, if he got the next corner right, what it did for him going up the next straightaway, you could see how much speed that he carried and how much time he would end up gaining on the rest of the field. And I believe that's where that second came from. Well, he was going down the hill and we're like, oh yeah, Jet Lawrence, bam! Like literally. Like, we were all in shock. He goes for that triple, and it was, we were kind of dumbfounded. I mean, I'm still kind of dumbfounded, like, thinking about it, that he went for. And it was one of those situations that you would think that it wasn't that he jumped it. And people always talk about the Monday quarterback, and I'm not here to do that. Like, I feel like why he did it, there's a reason why he did it. I don't have a problem with what he did, and I think overall – it was just shocking that he did it when he did it for me, because when you think about the last time they were on the racetrack, it was like 10 a.m. in the morning, and now they're showing up at, you know, 2:15. That track changed a lot from practice to then. Jet Lawrence wasn't even really putting in a lot of laps in practice, because from the first practice, the second practice to the main race, the track changes so much. In particular here at Hangtown, it gets way rougher and a lot drier. So Jet Lawrence was kind of picking, just figuring out lot obstacles, figuring out lines around the racetrack rather than putting laps in, because he knew it was going to change. So for him to go in the parade lap and see that downhill and then go jump it, we were all like, oh my gosh. So I think it was what happened in those 5 seconds. You could start to say today it changed the face of Supercross. I mean, really, the motocross. And not that we go like, okay, all of a sudden he's out of the title, you know, he's not racing. But what it did was it allowed everyone to believe again. And truthfully, they rode the next 3-4 laps. Like, they were all kind of like, all the riders were kind of in a weird spot, just kind of riding. Seemed like they were kind of shooken up, one, watching him go down, and two, feeling like, okay, what do we do now? Like, what do we do? And so I think with Jet Lawrence, the kid has dominated everything. And this is where I feel like, you know, people always go, well, he shouldn't do this. Like, I can't believe he jumped this. He's out of control. Well, somebody asked me last weekend how hard the streak is to win when he's 24, no, right? And I was like, no, I don't think it's not that hard. Once you get past 6-7, like, the streak just kind of continues. Like, you go out there knowing that you're probably going to win the race, and you start looking for other things to keep yourself motivated. Because when you're Jet Lawrence, if you won all these races, there's nothing to say that every time you line up at the gate, like, you're going to win. And so when you go to the gate kind of knowing that, and not saying that I've spoken to Jet Lawrence or have any hint of this, I'm only going off of what I felt, you start looking for other things, because winning the race just isn't enough to keep you like that motivated. Again, I'm speaking off of where I was, and if I jumped that, this is how I would be thinking. So nonetheless, when he jumps it, we all know what happens. And again, I think the reason he jumps that is the same reason when you listen to Jet Lawrence these days, he used to talk about championships, and he's still all for that. But he, by keeping himself motivated, he understands how special and gnarly what he's doing and how rare what he's doing is cool. And so you hear him talk about that more often. You hear him talking about the race wins. You saw him win last weekend, and he wasn't like super happy. He went 1-1.
Now I finally say I'm 24-0, so I matched James in that. But yeah, on the next round, hopefully we can keep getting good starts. But
he knows that, one, Chase was riding pretty good, and he wasn't on his level. And when you start winning all these races in a row, the level of how you win it becomes important. Like, it's an excellent, it's the dominance. And I think the reason why Jet Lawrence went for that jump is because nothing's been going wrong for the kid. Like, yeah, in Supercross, he went down with Barcia, but that was Barcia. Barcia ran into him. So nothing Jet has done has said, like, he can't do it. So I think when he goes on that hill, he goes and hits that jump thinking that, okay, I probably shouldn't hit it, but I'm out front. I'm going to go ahead and hit this jump because I know how much faster it is, and I'm going to send the statement. Everybody's watching me. It's the first lap. I go to hit it, and he comes out way short. My point is it's more of a mindset of everything that's been happening for the last year of being invincible. And he goes down there and he hits the jump, not really thinking that anything can go wrong. And again, this isn't a negative, but when somebody asks me, like, is it hard to continue to win these races? Well, your whole mindset is all about, I already know I'm going to win the races. It's how I win them these days that's important. I don't like to win by 2 seconds. I don't like anybody being even close to me. And so by doing that, he knew how much time he would gain. And I think it was just sending a message to everyone else that, dude, this guy just came down. It's like me hitting the quad the first lap when Ricky's behind me. He's like, oh, goddamn. I mean, seriously, like he just went out and did it. It's that statement that I'm all in tune from the first lap, from the jump. I'm going to go out and hit this thing. And you ain't got a chance because I'm already in the mode. And Jet Lawrence hits that and he comes out way short. Now, I think, as I said earlier, it's easy to Monday quarterback this thing and say why he shouldn't have done it. And I think if you ask Jet Lawrence, he would be like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have done that. But his mindset and where he was and the reason he went and did it, I don't have a problem. And I think you guys shouldn't have a problem with it either. The kid went down there. He was going to hit the jump. And there was nothing to say that he wasn't going to make it. And his mindset is he was going to make it. And it's like when he shows up at the gate, he just feels like he's going to win. And nothing to say. Every time he showed up at the gate in the 450 class, he has won. So why would he think anything else is different? So I think at the end of the day, his mindset was doing what Jet Lawrence does. He reacts off of how he feels and his reaction and his skill and all that. That's how he rides. So we Monday quarterback it because it went wrong. But that kid has been doing this whole time, not jumping crazy things. But why we marvel this kid and why he's so dominant is because he reacts off instinct. His instinct tells him, like, look, I've done it before. I'm going to do it. It just went wrong this time. And now people are beating him up. So I think Jet Lawrence, if you're asking me, he should continue being exactly the way he was. Be that same person that went down there and jumped that jump, because it's not that you can't jump it. It's the fact that you believe that you are that good and you react off instincts. And that's what's made you be 24-0. If you start second guessing everything, then you probably wouldn't be as dominant and you wouldn't be in this spot. And I think at the end of the day, there's nothing he did wrong besides he didn't make it. He didn't make it. So again, I think Jet Lawrence understands that. There's reasons why what he did didn't make any sense as far as like why he came up that short. And I think at the end of the day, I mean, he's bummed. I'm sure he's bummed at himself, but I don't see anything that he did wrong. And it's not one of those jumps that you're like, dude, like, what the hell are you thinking? I know why he did it. It just didn't work that time. And, you know, I think at hindsight, being Jet Lawrence has been so ahead of the curve and that he's so aware, I think it was the part that I was shocked at was that there was really no need to do that. And knowing that how much that track has changed from practice to the main event for the first moto, I was just shocked that he didn't really see that difference to notice that that jump was that much difference rather than I can't believe he went and jumped it. So, yeah, I think the kid's fine. I think he needs to continue being the way he was. But what it did was open up the door for Pandora's box. And that was at number 4 and everyone else in that racetrack. So, yeah, Jet Lawrence motorcycle this weekend. I broke down the race of where the acceleration and where he was really good at last weekend. And I broke that section down coming out of the corners, how his bike was falling to ground. And everywhere I was talking about was really initially coming out of the corners. It was more of the low speed stuff. And this weekend, obviously you had the acceleration out of the corners and his motorcycle was fine there. But the difference between Paula and Hangtown is that, yeah, they're both fast tracks. They're both high speed sections, but here at Hangtown, it's a high speed track in shorter areas, where Paula is, it's longer. Like, for instance, where the first corner is, where Jet was coming out and he was getting over that jump, from that, you look at from how long and straight, there's a couple bends in there, but how long that section is, it goes all the way down to the end of the other side of the track. Well, this track is, what's up, buddy? Yeah. Yeah, just close it all the way. It's funny, he's like trying to be quiet by closing the door, not realizing that. Well, you're just talking, but anyways. Yeah, the difference is on the two tracks is that this track is a lot shorter. So you have a high speed in shorter parts. For instance, where the hills that Jet Lawrence was going up and down, it's super high speed, probably the same speed that they were going in Paula, but it's a lot shorter. So my point is, where Jet's bike was good at last weekend, since this track is a lot shorter and more high speed, it's not that important just coming out of the corners, and it makes the bike have to work more in those high speed sections. Well, James, you just said like at Paula, like it's, you got the same high speeds and the track's longer. Well, yeah, but it's, look, think of it as this. The sections that they are riding at, the up and downs here at Hangtown, is more like a supercross track. Like, there's a bunch of obstacles and things in a shorter period, which means it, where Paula, those things are spread out over a long period, over a longer section. So it means that the bike has to work a lot. It's a lot of work that's going on in a shorter period, but at a high speed. And so my point is, when Jet's coming out of the corners, where he was good at and where he's making time at last weekend, that was really important last weekend, because it was like at that point, but then the track spread it out, where now it's like the bike has to work there. And then it also has to work like going down the hills, and it has to work at a high speed and a rebound. Well, Jet Lawrence motorcycle, I think the rebound where it was good last weekend, since it was a high speed section, since there was a lot of obstacles and braking bumps and things in a shorter part, it doesn't, his rebound's too fast. So let me sum it up for you. The Hondas looked nervous to me. Like, it looked nervous. And you could see the reason Jet Lawrence was able to get over the jump in Paula, because the bike was really active and it was allowing him to get the spring, which, if the bike is active, when you're coming out of corners, it follows the ground more. But as you get going up the speed, the thing is lively. Well, the reason he was able to get over the stuff in Paula was the same thing, the same reason why when you look at his bike here, it looked like he was really nervous going up the hills. We have a couple of shots, the hill before, going up the hill right before he goes down and he crashes. If you look at his motorcycle, like, he lands off that triple or tabletop going up the hill, step up, and then he's going, his bike goes down, and now it's coming back up. And you can see there's, the wheel is on the ground, is following it, but his bike is doing this number, like it's a wallowing, like it's a really active, wallow is probably not the word I should use, but it's moving a lot. Well, you look at Chase's bike, you look at Anderson's bike, their bike is doing the same thing, but it's down. And I would say they have more of a dead wallow, where the rear end is, it's low doing this. Well, Jet Lawrence's bike is lifting up under acceleration. And that's the difference between a bike that has too much rebound or has a lot of rebound compared to a bike that's dead. And particularly at this racetrack, going up the hills, you can see how lively Jet's bike was. And it was a negative because, one, you're accelerating going up the hill and the thing's moving around. And I feel like the hard part, once you get to acceleration. So. Yeah, sorry, people. Like, they're throwing me off. They're throwing me off. It's like Jet Lawrence coming up short on a jump. Like, I can't even focus. I'm on the ground. Like, what the hell just happened? Yeah, so the hard part on the acceleration, that's with Jet Lawrence having a faster rebound compared to having a bike that's slower in that area. When you're accelerating going uphill and the bike's lively and it's lifting up, it's scary as a rider because you really can't feel the ground. Like, in that instant, it's almost better to have a motorcycle that's dead, because then you know the wheel's on the ground. And although it feels like you're, you know, toting an anchor on the back, you know where the back end is. Like, you know what's going to happen. If you hit this pothole, you know it's going to like probably hit and go sideways. Well, when the bike's really lively, it's up in the air and is walling around. You really can't feel it. And so you end up getting this, you're on the back of a motorcycle and you're getting this motion where you can't feel the rear end, but you know it's lively and the thing's kicking up. And usually when you see a motorcycle kicking up and moving around a lot under acceleration and there's travel, that's when you know that there's a lot more stroke, like the bike's not completely bottom out. That's when you know the rebound's too fast. If it was low, dead, and the fender was on the tire, slow rebound. Going up the hill, slow rebound. When the bike's up under acceleration and you can see it moving, faster rebound. And again, I think this weekend with the track being shorter and having high speed sections, but a lot more things happening in that short time, you can just see how uncomfortable the Hondas were compared to where they were last week. And then you on the flip side, going down the hills. Well, if it's moving around under acceleration going up hills, then you got to believe that it's going to be that way downhill and be even worse. The difference where what happened with Jet Lawrence just explaining the crash. So he goes down that hill, and again, his mindset isn't thinking anything else besides racing. And if you look at it, he's going down. There's like a little, they hit a double, and then there's like a little dip. And what he was jumping that triple in practice, in that dip, it was basically one dip. There was no really a lot of braking bumps going up. Well, in the race, he jumps that part, it goes down, and there's more of a braking bumps, and then there's one big one. Well, having his bike, and as I was speaking on the rebound, his bike starts lifting up going into the braking bump. So instead of in practice, there was one motion, bike was going down, and yeah, the rebound was moving around, but there was nothing else to throw it off. He could get a lift and get over that triple, just like he could get over the step up in Paula. Well, this time he went down and the bike reacted before he even got to that section. It starts lifting up. Taking consideration that they threw water down as well, his bike's already spinning. And when a bike is spinning because of loose conditions, what's happening? It's not pulling it down. So the rebound would be even more of an issue because there's nothing sucking that bike down. Well, he goes down there, and now before he even gets to that jump to where he wants to lift off, you could see his bike starting to lift up. When he hits that that braking bump to be able to get over that next one, his bike's already up in the stroke, and he just goes through it. He doesn't go up. He wanted to go down and get the pop, use the rebound and the motorcycle to go up to get over it. Well, it started lifting up, and he drove through it. And that's why he came up so short. And where he hit at was in the gnarly part of that braking bump, because those guys were, everyone else was hitting that little thing going into that goalie where he came up short, and it created another braking bump and then went over that next little roller. Well, that's where Jet landed. And that's why that hit was so violent, because that's where all those other guys were creating another one. And so for him, he wouldn't have known that until the race would have went on. And I guarantee you, if he wouldn't have jumped it that lap, he probably would have never jumped it, because he would realize that the bike's not really working the way I want it to. It's a little off this race. And because it's off and where it's off, it's going to be hard to jump this jump because the bike is lively. The rebound's everywhere. I wouldn't want to jump it. And the point is, that's why I go back to everything about his mindset is everything's been going right. I think that the kid just was so in tune on, I'm out front, I'm going to win the race, let me go ahead and hit this jump, instead of being more in tune of, let me fill this thing out, and then I'll fill it out and probably realize that I probably shouldn't jump this because I don't think my bike's set up. Well, anyways, he jumps, his feet blows off, he's laying on the track. And last year or a couple of years, I talked about guys who win the race when they fall and how they get up. Well, obviously the kid was hurt, but I think at the same time, when you talk about the streak and where the streak ends, I guarantee at one point he was laying on the ground, like his world ended. Like he knew that streak was over. And you, as he was racing, he got up and he went back out there. We talked about what his mechanic put on the pit board, do fast laps. And that's kind of like an oxymoron, right? Like, of course, like you went down, yeah, do fast laps. That's what you try to do in racing. Well, what his mechanic was telling him was just race. There's more to it. Like, it's a championship. Do fast laps, meaning go fast. We need points, because at that point, his mechanic was probably like, he can see Jet was bummed. Like, it's hard to be after all these wins and everybody's talking about the streak. That ended. Your world's ended. You crashed on your own. You're laying on the ground. You know you're not going to win this race. You've been there for a while. You're hurt. It's easy to want to just give up because that race is over. Well, his mechanic was just telling him to do fast lap to remind him that this is a long championship. And just because his streak's over doesn't mean that this championship's over. Remember that. And the reason I say that is because there was races that, like, I was all about winning races. And so if I crashed and I knew I couldn't win the race, sometimes it was hard for me to reset and remember, damn, I'm in a championship. I need to get up and go. And that's where I was going back to the point where I made a couple of years ago when I'm like, dude, if you notice guys who win races, when they get up, it's a different compared to a guy that's like the fifth to 10th place. Like, they realize that they're not even thinking about winning a race, that these is the points and these points matter. Well, if you're all about winning, go down and you can't win, it's hard to reset and go back that, okay, I need 18th this moto. And that's where Jet Lawrence was. And that's what his mechanic was doing. So it was a lot of things happening in that area. And that's why I go, when Jet Lawrence hit the ground, it changed the sport in a lot of different ways. And yeah, he still is the favorite to win this championship. He's still Jet Lawrence, and he can start another streak this weekend. But what it did was a reset mode. And when he almost had these guys a knockout punch, because I believe if he would have beat Chase like he beat him last weekend, that the next few races, it would have been way different. The fact is, when he hit the ground is the reason why I say Chase Sexton had a ride like he did in that second moto. And that's where I go, what, that ground, when he's laying on the ground, changed the whole sport and changed that 450 class moving forward. Now, Chase Sexton, what were you saying? His bike was struggling last weekend, acceleration coming out. Well, as I mentioned, and I went through it with Jet, the track was different. So those parts wasn't necessarily a big deal last weekend in Paula. The acceleration going up and down the hills and getting over that jump cost Chase a lot of time. Well, in this spot, there was acceleration, but then there was a jump afterwards, and there was a lot more downhills or high-speed sections. But it was really about the high speed rebound, and where Chase's motorcycle was kind of dead, it helped him in the sense of he knew where the motorcycle was. And like I explained earlier, there's a difference between a bike that's being lively going up the hill and feeling where it's at compared to where you know it's dead. Well, where Chase was losing all that time, it wasn't that important here. Yeah, there was the acceleration out of the corners, but it didn't hurt him as much as it did last weekend.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
So Chase was in a better spot, meaning I think he was more comfortable to where he wasn't losing that much time. And when you look at the KTM, the bike as a whole, I don't really think it was much better or that different from last weekend. And I'll explain that in a second, his motorcycle. But the difference between Jet's bike, Chase's bike, and we have a Anderson in that same hill when they're going up, you can see their motorcycles. You can see Jets going up and his bikes moving around. He has to adjust his body going up that hill. Where you look at Chase's bike, he lands and it just seems like the rear end's just dead. It's on the ground. They'll hit a bump. It might react off that bump, but the bike's not lifting up and moving around. It's more of a dead feeling. And then when he hits a bump, then he has to react, but it's not reacting before there. Same thing with Jason Anderson. Like he goes through there, looks like he's down, they're accelerating. And the biggest difference between those three or those two compared to Jet is that Jet is going up that hill reacting. Like you see him moving his body, the thing's moving around. When you look at the other two, it's like they know exactly what their bike's going to do. Like they know it's going up the hill and they know when they hit this bump, it's going to react. They're not worried about anything until they get there. Well, it's more of the known and the reaction between those three bikes. Well, Chase Sexton last weekend, he struggled out of the corners. Well, this weekend coming down those sections, because that's the way his motorcycle was, it wouldn't play a huge difference out of the corners, but it would allow him to be more comfortable going down the hills because same way I'm saying about Jet's bike not knowing, Chase kind of knows exactly what his bike's going to do. He knows, look, as long as I got a little bit of travel, I'm okay. I'm going to have a problem when I get to the last braking bump. And when I get to the last braking bump, I better be holding on because the thing's going to react and it's going to react one way. It's going to hit. And that some bitch is going sideways. And Chase bike, that some bitch was going sideways multiple times. Dude strong. And when I say his bike kind of looked the same as it did last weekend, well, I was saying his bike was going sideways last weekend. And the difference was, is that he lost so much time that he had to put himself, like he had no choice but to run it down in those hills and wait for that thing to react. Well, this weekend, I think he was making that choice on his own, like especially that second moto. When he was in beast mode zone, you could tell like he didn't care. Like, dude, he was almost about to fall going into corners. Like he was blacked out, where last weekend he had to take those chances just to even be close to Jet. Well, this weekend he was dictating it. So I think he was going down those hills knowing that it's going to do it, but he was prepared for it. And that's why he never really hit the ground. Like things didn't catch him out like they was in the past or like they had, because he knew, all right, going this fast down the hill, that's likely it's going to happen. And the reason why I said like his bike looked the same, it wasn't really that much better, or the race, how he rode wasn't really necessarily caused because they made that big of a change on the motorcycle. It was caused because he was, for the first time in this class since race Jet, he was dictating what was going on. Like he was in where Jet was, like, well, I guess he wasn't where Jet was because he was on the ground. But I guess my point was he was playing offense rather than being defense. And ever since Jet's been in this class, you notice Chase has been, seems like he's catching up. Everything's been okay, catching up. And yep, the first moto, he was in that spot. He had to catch Hunter. Second moto, yep, he was in that spot because he went down and he was in 40th. He had to catch up. The difference was, one, Jet was behind him and he wasn't chasing Jet down. And yeah, in the second moto, he was chasing Jet down. But once he got up to him, you saw how he went in there and passed Jet Lawrence with authority. Nothing was stopping Chase Sexton in that second moto. He didn't care. He was in the zone. And I think him being uncomfortable, his bike swapping around, he was comfortable doing that because he was like, I don't even care. And the bike, because the rebound's slow and because things happen the way they happen, I know it's going to happen and it gives me time to react to them. And when you look at the KTM and you look at the Honda, slow rebound, the things that caused Chase and where he had to struggle with Supercross, fast things, like he leans on the front, he's not prepared for it. Okay, he has a problem. When Chase Sexton starts going, and we talked about it in Supercross, we talked about it, he gets in the rhythm, he starts going. The dude's fast. His problem was when he catches people and then now he has to react to that and try to figure out a different way. Sometimes he like struggled. And that was the difference that he was going to have to figure out on the KTM. Instead of having to burst of speed, having the overall roll speed around the racetrack, but having to roll speed and start planning your way on trying to pass him. Because I think the hardest part for Chase is to pass people like instantly to figure out how to way to pass him. Like right now, he has to set his passes up. And at Sekimoto, I think he got in the zone where he passed so many people he kind of knew. And when he was catching dudes, he was just going past him so quickly, he didn't even have a time to react. Well, the whole point of this thing is Chase was in a better spot to where he was, you know, I guess not reacting. He was dictating the situation. And he's still in the first moto. He still ran off the track, just like he did last weekend. He still made his mistakes. But the difference was he wasn't racing. He wasn't chasing Jet. And Jet puts a lot of pressure on everyone that they got to be so perfect because he's so good. And then when he catches you, because Jet is aware, Jet goes faster and makes you have to ride faster and makes you hopefully make a mistake. And I think Chase was in a spot to where he was gaining confidence. He knew his bike. He knew he was racing. And he eventually got past Hunter Lawrence, which goes through for the next race. But overall, the difference between a KTM and Honda, I think, with Chase is that the Honda things were happening so quick for Chase that he can ride the same. And the way he rode and the way things happened, it looked like he would just allow the things to happen over and over. And I think Ricky or somebody said, it's like, dude, how can you do the same thing over and over and over and over and not change? Well, the KTM allows, because of the rebound, because of the way that bike works, it slows things down for Chase. And I think that's why, I actually don't think, I know that's why he doesn't hit the ground as much as he does. Like, it might not be as sporadic and might not be as fast on it in a straight line or short periods, but because everything's happened slower, it allows you to have time to react. And that's what my whole point was. When he's going down the hill and he hits that last braking bump, that's the characteristic, or that's the whole thing of Chase on the KTM. Yeah, he's going to make a mistake. Yeah, that some bitch is going to kick sideways, but he's got time to react for it, and he is a talented guy. And if he has time to prepare for it, the likelihood of him hitting the ground isn't that likely because it's not catching him out. And this weekend, you saw it play out. The bike would kick sideways. It was exactly the same as last weekend, but the bike would kick sideways. He would have time to react. And the whole moral of the story is that he wasn't put under pressure with Jet Lawrence in the beginning part of that first moto when Jet went out. And it just allowed Chase to be up front. He won the race and he got more confidence as he was going, which brought him into the second moto. And then you just saw Chase Sexton riding with confidence. And it was a beautiful thing to see. One thing I want to talk about real quick is Chase Sexton and his mindset. And for all the people that sit there and say, well, he didn't win because Jet Lawrence is hurt. Well, whatever. You can say that. You can not say that. Jet Lawrence is out there. He went down. And you can say, well, Chase could have won last weekend if he didn't go off the track. Like, hindsight's whatever. I'm not here to play that game. But I will say this. Because Jet Lawrence was hurt, and there was a lot of pressure on Chase to capitalize. The fact that he went and won that first moto shows me that the dude can handle some pressure, right? Like, okay, Jet Lawrence out. You know this is your opportunity. And you know people are all they're going to say is like, well, you only won because of Jet Lawrence. So whatever. So just think about this. Knowing that Jet Lawrence is hurt, knowing that you're sitting on the gate, now is your opportunity to seize the moment. Jet Lawrence shows back on the gate for the second moto. Okay, now you got to go beat this dude. You haven't beat him. You know he's hurt. And you know, if you do beat him, people are going to say, well, you only beat him because he's hurt, but you don't know how bad he's hurt. He can come out and win the race. So damn, there was a lot of pressure on Chase Sexton sitting on that gate for the second moto. Probably way more pressure than any championship that he's ever won, because he knew this is my opportunity to go do it. Like, people are going to expect me to win. And I know the dude's out lining up. He could still win. Like, I don't know how bad he's hurt. He's here, so he's not broken up. So I could get Jet Lawrence like he's been the other 24 times in a row, or I can get Jet Lawrence that's hurt. I don't know that. But if I get that hurt person and I win, people are going to expect it. So I'm supposed to go out and win this moto. You know how much pressure that is sitting on dude when he's like wrong either way, in a sense? He's going to win? Well, you're supposed to. And if he doesn't win, what the hell are you doing? Well, Chase Sexton is still sitting on the gate, people. He's still sitting on the gate. Gate drops, he's still sitting there. Gets a bad start, and then he goes down. Well, I think if Chase Sexton would have went out and went 1-1 and just beat Jet Lawrence straight up, wouldn't be as significant as what he did the second moto. And when I go back to the whole point of like, this has changed the face of motocross, and maybe I'm over exaggerating, but it definitely changed this series and allowed Chase Sexton to be more get back to himself, maybe the best version of himself. It's going to be good going forward. The way he was able to race that second moto was dictated because of what happened with Jet Lawrence, because the first moto, if Jet Lawrence was out front, and Chase, even let's say Chase came up and won, Chase would have never been in the spot to figure out, even with his motorcycle, to go through all those things, because everything would have been, he would have been playing defense. I can't make these mistakes and catch this dude. I can't make these mistakes and try to get it. Everything would have been about trying to get back to Jet Lawrence. So I don't even think he would have been aware of anything else that was happening around him. Fact is, once he got out front, he caught Hunter Lawrence. He passed all these other guys, and he was getting his confidence. Chase Sexton, just like last weekend when I said, dude, well, when he went down, it might be a benefit for him, because now Jet Lawrence is out of the picture. He can just worry about what Chase Sexton needs to do. He can race as if Jet ain't there, because he's gone. I ain't going to catch him. Let me worry about the motorcycle. Let me do what I do best. And because Jet Lawrence went down, I think it allowed Chase to race this track and race those two motos in a sense of, the first moto, I'm learning about myself and I'm getting confidence passing these other dudes. I won the race. Finally, I broke that streak. Then the second moto, he went down. Everything is over. Like, damn it. Everything's over. I screwed up. I lost. I'm just going to race. I don't care. I'm just going to go out there. And because Jet Lawrence was hurt, and because everybody thinks that he should have won that race, he knows on the gate he probably should win that race. I think it put Chase Sexton in the zone to where I don't care zone, that I'm already lost. I blew it, that I'm just going to go out and race and let it hang out. And as I was saying, if he was racing Jet Lawrence, he beat him straight up 1-1, Jet Lawrence, nothing would hurt. Chase would have never been in that spot, because nobody would have ever put him in that spot. He would have never clicked in that zone of, I just don't care. He got in that I don't care zone, and then you saw what happened. And the reason, because he was in that I don't care zone, allowed him to go from 40th to first. And then you saw him after the race. He was like, he was happy, but you can tell he didn't even know what the hell happened, because he was in I don't care zone. He was in the I don't care zone, and he just blacked out, and he really didn't realize that what he did was that damn special. And my whole point of this is, because he was in there, now you look at Chase Sexton, the confidence that he got from doing that compared to even just the confidence that he just beating Jet, because in Chase Sexton's mind, he knew he can beat Jet. Like, he felt like he can beat him. It was just a matter of time for him to do it. At no point did he ever think that what he did that second moto was ever going to happen. At no point did he ever think that was going to happen. So winning the race was something that he expected to do. Eventually, he knew he was going to beat Jet Lawrence straight up. He knew that. So it wouldn't be that big of a shock to him. But what he did that second moto is something that gives a rider so much confidence that now I think you're going to see a guy that's found more confidence and in a better spot than he ever could imagine in his career. So again, my whole moral of the story, when I say it's changed the face of racing, well, I think it's changed the face of how we look at Chase and how Chase looks at Chase going forward. And I think it's going to be a beautiful thing to watch. Now, again, going back to my point, Jet Lawrence can go out and win this weekend. Okay, whatever. Like, he is that good. Like, I expect him to bounce back. But now Chase Sexton, because of what happened a couple days ago, Chase Sexton is going to be a force to be reckoned with. Because now he can build off of that confidence and continue. And when people sit here and say, okay, well, if he goes and Jet beats him this weekend, is it going to knock him back down? Of course, he'll be pissed. But you can't take away what just happened. And that 40th to first is going to last a long time with him. And that's going to be a lot of whoopings that he would have to receive to knock that away. And so that's why that whole scenario of everything that happened on Saturday is so important moving forward. And I think it's just going to make it better for racing and in the long run for all these guys. I feel like I talked a lot about Chase and Jet, and there's a lot more stuff that I actually could break down, but it'd be a 3-hour show. So we'll just stay tuned. You'll get it at some point. But Hunter Lawrence, he was in the same position as Jet. I think Hunter was more comfortable this weekend. And as I talked with Hunter, he's going to allow things to come. Like, he's not going to take that chance. Now, when his brother went out, you got to think he's probably a little shook on watching his brother hit the ground, because not only is all these other guys like, damn, dude, that sucked. That was a big hit. And this Tiger Woods, you know, getting hurt, leading the Masters. Like, you're like, oh my God, it's like, what happened? They're all shook. Imagine if that's your brother. So, and where Hunter's been at in his career, he knows that feeling. He knows he's hurt. Obviously, he figured out that Jet was up. He didn't see him on the side of the track, so he knew he wasn't, like, laid out. But still, it affected him. And then the bike wasn't that comfortable. So Hunter was out there riding, wanting to win. But at the same time, he knew he was uncomfortable, and he knew that the bike wasn't. And he, at his point, he was just hoping that Chase Sexton would make enough mistakes. He can win this race and they can go back. Well, Chase Sexton kept coming. So Hunter Lawrence ended up where I think he should have. I think he was trying to, but the bike was way more uncomfortable than he wanted. And I said, Hunter Lawrence isn't the type at the moment. Hunter Lawrence isn't the type at the moment to just say, all right, I'm just going to hit the ground. I'm just live for next weekend. So he did his best. He rode good. Chase was on a different level, obviously. Aaron Plessinger, Cowboy, he's going to get better. Like, he was out for Supercross. When he hole shot it, Aaron Plessinger, I mean, just like he did in Supercross, the dude's good. Like, he's fast. Don't be shocked if he just hole shots and run away from you. Like, okay. So I suspected him. He was happy. He was Cowboy. He had the stash. He had the mullet. He was going out doing what Aaron Plessinger does, and he led that race. And I talked about on the broadcast that he was in the spot to where Chase Sexton was in the zone, and really all Aaron had to do, which he wouldn't have known, is just put another couple turns together, and it would have put Chase would have never even, like, tried catching him, because once Chase got in second, I think Chase realized what he did. And so he was like, all right, cool, I'm going to be here. And you can start seeing Chase wasn't taking those chances. Well, Aaron, he was just there. And the hard part is once you get in a rhythm, he's out front. He pulled away from everybody else. You have this dude coming from nowhere to catch you. It is hard to pick up your pace when you're leading. So especially at the end of the moto, and I said on the broadcast that it would be difficult for Aaron. Yeah, he's probably tired, but he can make another lap. It'd be hard for him to pick up the pace. And that's what ended up happening. Like, he knew Chase was coming at the last moment, but you get in the zone, and for whatever reason, your mindset is just stuck there. It'd be almost impossible for him to pick up the pace, and that's what ended up happening. And again, if he would have just went faster, a couple more corners, Chase had already somewhat given up. He was fine with going from 40th to second. But since Aaron was, like, sitting there and he had the food in front of him, Chase was like, well, damn, all right, you're going to give it to me. And so he went down, and it was a game of chicken going downhill. And Aaron said, yeah, all right, I'll wait for next weekend and I'll let you have it. And that was the race. But Aaron did good. Jason did good. I think everybody rode even more better. Justin Cooper actually rode really good too. So I think all these guys are in a great spot, and they feel like there's a hope. And I'm looking forward to seeing. I think Justin Cooper would be good this weekend in the ruts. I think they all would. But Aaron Plessinger and all the rest of the guys, 450, they were good. But Chase Sexton, all right, look here, people, look here. Now, I did give him a neck burn a few weeks ago in Supercross. I gave him one. And I was like, dude, it's like legit. And it takes a lot for a guy to have as many struggles, but always be expected to win, but never expected to win. That's a weird situation to be in. And you got to think with Chase Sexton, and when people question mentality, like, yeah, some people are, like, for instance, when Chase came in and he, like, came up on Jet, like, you know, second moto, like, that's a different mindset than a guy that just deals with the adversity and continues to come back and continues to fight and trains and just does his best and works on the motorcycle and they win. That's a mindset. But then there's also another mindset of move, I am coming.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
We saw that Sakamoto. Like, dude was not to be denied. And when you talk about dogs, the next guy I'm going to talk about is Hayden Deegan. Like, he's that dog. There's different levels and there's different mindsets of having in this field. And Jason Anderson, he has his mindset. Justin Barsh has his mindset. Jet Lawrence has his mindset. Well, there's different levels to it. What Chase had, him, he found a new mindset. Because, I mean, come on, people, like, we saw, we was like, whoa. Like, even Jet was like, damn, dude, I'm like, I got like one leg. I'm trying to like let you have it. And Jet could have ran it in on him. But in that next corner, Chase like, nah, you just... read the room, bruh. Read the room. The room said, this fool crazy. I ain't trying to get it. And Chase Sexton, yeah, you got one of these a couple weekends ago, but you never got one like this mindset, and you haven't had one in a long time. And this is a special one because not only did you win the race, you did something that we maybe haven't seen since somebody else did it a long time ago, and I don't even know who that is, but this is a different area. This is a different area. It was beautiful to watch. And Chase Sexton, you deserve credit. You deserve all this, kid. So I'm going to give you a special one from personally JS and from Bubba's War. Please do me the honor. Hit it for him, Cole.
Suntan, neck's on fire.
Your neck ain't on fire. Your ass is burnt because that race was hot. That race was hot. Dude was on fire. I love riders when they like they're in the zone so much that you pull them off and everybody's like, woo, yeah, good job. And they're like, That dude was locked in. And people get a kid credit because, yeah, look, man, I mean, you got your ass whooped. Like, you know, I was like, hey, like, bruh, tucked front end, whatever. Like, live to fight another day. Well, dude, you kept fighting and you fought. And I'm proud for you, kid. I'm proud for you. So great job. Looking forward to it. And Jet Lawrence, get healthy. I know you'll be back. I know you do with your thing. We got a series, people. We got riders that's one that's pissed off because he won all these races and he didn't win this race. And then we got one that just finally won this race after all these races he didn't win, that he thought he should have won and he didn't win. And he finally won. And when he won, he won. We got that. And they're going to race next weekend. So, woo, that class is going to be pretty good. But that was that. Chase Sexton, great job. Now, the 250 class. Look, I'm going to keep it short, people. That dude is a dude, and that dude, y'all know who I'm talking about. I'm going to pull one of them gag orders. I'm going to pull one of my, you know, one of them candidates, you know, be like, hey, look, yeah, you guys know who I'm talking about. I ain't got to say his name, but you know who I'm talking about. And I'm talking about Hayden Deegan. So I did say his name, but for real, we saw Hayden Deegan last weekend go into that pro motocross. Like, yeah, he was excited. You know, if you listen to him talk, you can see the narrative changing his mind because it's kind of confusing because he was like, a lot of people doubted me. Screw off, right? After he wins. But then you listen to him talk and he says, a lot of people picked him to win and like they need to give him time to win. Like they put the cart before the horse kind of situation. So I think even Hayden was like, look, a lot of people think I'm going to win. So there's a lot of pressure. They need to let me get into this thing. But then all those people that didn't think I was going to win, screw off. Well, that's the mindset. And the reason he's saying that is because, like, yeah, he wanted to go in there and win Paula, but he knew, like, look, it might take me a little bit. I need to, look, the baby doesn't come out, like, instantly afterwards. Like, it takes 9 months. So, look, I'm working on it. Well, it just happened that first race. And the way he won that first race at Paula, I said, it allowed him to race the second one because now he's riding in a different zone. And the zone that Hayden's riding in is the I don't care zone. Like, I don't care. Like, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to do my thing. And doing my thing, I'm going to win. First moto this weekend, he gets a bad start. Like, whatever. Dude's out front. Levi's in front of him. Hayden's about 13 seconds down from Chance. First moto, what'd he do? I'm going to catch him. And just like Chase Sexton. Now, little side note, the way this track was, it did allow guys that once they got in the I don't care zone, they could make up a lot of times, but I don't care. I'm not even talking about that. Hayden made up the time, and what he was able to do that first moto of Paula last weekend allowed him to believe in to be able to do it the second moto. He's riding, and he's at the gate knowing the hotter it is, the rougher this track is, and no matter kind of where I'm at, like if I'm within a certain amount of time, like the Cooper Webb thing, I'm going to work. And I was mentioning on the broadcast that it's bigger than just winning the race because winning a race out front, just dominating. Cool. Great. Cool. When you win races, certain races you win and you win in a different way. You win deeper in the field. And I think the first moto this weekend, what Hayden, yeah, he won the race. He won the previous two. But what he sent the message was, is that now these guys are going to think, even when Chance is out front, even when there's about 10 minutes left, if Hayden's somewhat around him, because the way Hayden won this weekend, Chance is going to start racing and be worried about Hayden until he gets to a certain part of that race, maybe a lap left, and he'd be like, okay, there's no way he's going to catch me. Because Hayden just showed those dudes that I could be this far back, but I'm still coming, which makes them always be worried about somebody that's not even that close to him. And that's a real win because that right there puts you in a spot to where no matter where you're at, they're going to be thinking about you. When people are thinking about you, they don't ride how they ride. Kind of what I just said in the 450 class with Jet being out, allowed Chase to be thinking about his own self and not be worried about someone else. Well, the 250 class, the last 2 weeks, Hayden's put himself in that spot and you can see it. He's saying what he said about Levi. He's saying what he's saying. Like he just goes on a podium. He just walks around knowing that I'm going to do it. Well, he backed it up that first moto. And that's all because what he was able to do last weekend and how his mindset is. So going into second moto, he hole shots. There was nothing to say that it was going to stay the same. He was riding. He did the same thing he did last weekend. Oh, these lines, they're slippery. I'm going to go outside because I don't want to fall. And I know these dudes ain't going to do anything. And if they pass me, whatever, I'm going to pass them back. He did the same thing last weekend in second moto. Levi was catching him. I was like, that's kind of like false hope. He's going outside. He's avoiding the mistake. Well, he did it this weekend and he was avoiding a mistake and dude was right there. And then all of a sudden he pulled away. Well, the one person in this field that doesn't get bothered by that is the guy that came up in Tom Vial. The reason why Tom Vial doesn't get bothered by him because one, I think his mindset's just different. Like he's different. When he won Daytona, it was like, oh yeah, I won. Like, yeah, I won one of the coolest races over here. But cool, yeehaw, win. And then what you really notice is that go back to Philadelphia. When him and Hayden won a championship and everybody talked about Hayden needed to knock him down and Hayden was running in on Tom, what did Tom do? Tom stayed right there and they were coming up through the pack. Hayden was on him the whole time. But what Tom didn't do was crack. And that's why I say he's the one type of guy, his mentality allows him to not be bothered about what Hayden says. For instance, he's like the kid that you pick on in school and you call him ugly and you steal his lunch money. And then he'd be like, next time you go to steal his lunch money and he just hands it to you. Just avoid the drama. And then eventually you're going to be like, whatever, I'm not even going to mess with dude because it doesn't bother him. Well, that's Tom Vial. Not saying that Hayden's stealing his lunch money, but his mindset is like, you can call me whatever. You can talk about my mother. Well, maybe not mama, but you can talk about everything else and I'm not going to react to it. And because he doesn't react to it, it's going to allow Tom to always not be bothered about what Hayden's doing. That's why I think, yeah, Hayden went down. And I think part of that is like the Austin Faulkner thing of in Supercross because Hayden was back there and it kept Austin having to push it. Austin ended up pushing it too much and he goes down. Well, because Tom was back there and coming up, I think it put Hayden where he had to charge down that hill, because I don't think he would have made that mistake if Levi was in second or Joe. I don't think he would have fell. And yeah, it was a simple mistake. We saw bikes kicking out all day, but just like Hayden would go around the outside and he would change lines not to fall in the first part if the track is wet, I think Hayden would realize that, okay, this is a little rough. I'm just not going to go down there as fast. But Tom Vial kept him and kept him having to push. Well, last couple weekends, Levi's been back there and he's saying Levi's going to get tired. So he rides as if like he ain't worried about Levi catching him ever. So he's just going to go fast enough until Levi dictates it and he ain't worried about it. Well, Tom was coming and he goes down. Well, my whole point is Hayden Deegan, he listened to him. He's waving the American flag. He's not talking if he's going to win. It's when he's going to win. And that's all been dictated on the last couple weeks. And somebody had to stop that. Now, I'm not saying Tom stopped it, but Tom gave us hope on there, because right now, I think everyone in that field, Hayden feels like he's got him covered and he speaks and he might feel like he got Tom covered. But at the end of the day, I just know Tom and I know how he rides. I know Tom's always going to fight. And if he loses his championship, he's going to lose it because like he just wasn't as good as Hayden. It ain't going to be because Hayden talked himself into like convinced Tom that he's better. You know, he's not that guy. Well, 250 class is the one class that we're starting to see a guy that's being born, that the guy has the right attitude, that you're just looking for the one person to come in and say, I don't care. One person to come in and ride like Chase Sexton did that second moto. And the 250 class where you usually don't have those guys. And when you do, you have a talented guy like Jet Lawrence, or you have a seasoned vet like Hunter Lawrence that's more consistent, where guys know because they've been there, done that, they can do it. Well, Hayden's still young and he's doing that and it's special to see, but I think we still have a series. And because Tom was able to win that second moto, I still believe Levi and Chance Hymus, once he starts figuring out the confidence, that kid's going to be good. We already kind of knew it. I said a few weeks ago, Chance, what you up to? Well, he must've heard me because he's out there and he will be that next guy. Chance will be that next guy that I will say, if he had like the Hayden Deegan or he had the confidence, that he can run away from these dudes because he's that good. So 250 class, it's not wide open because Hayden closed that door. He really kicked that bitch down. But Tom Vial has a key and he can open it. And he opened it up this weekend. But just like last weekend, we could say a lot of things. And the streak was on. He had three in a row and he had it going until he didn't have it going in. So another one. And we're not going to say, yeah, he was going to get tired. He just didn't even acknowledge that anything that Tom did, it was because of what I did, and I'm the winner. And what is he, Cole? Please hit it for
Suntan, next on fire.
I was waiting. I was like, damn, you got to hit it. But I forget, it's delayed. Hayden Deegan, keep your thing up, done. Keep your thing up. That was beautiful. Tom Vial, good job. Special. All right, people, I feel like I talked a lot and I talked a lot. And I said coming on to this show, I was going to keep it shorter because I didn't want to ramble on because y'all been hearing me and all I did was ramble on. So let's go into my favorite time, your favorite time. We might have a commercial. We might not. We'll figure it out. I'll either be back or I won't. But Cole, can we get into Cues with Stews? I said Cues with Stews, like if there's multiple of us.
For Nash asks, will Hunter actually try and beat Jet for podiums or wins since the streak is over?
For Nash, yes. I do think, Hunter's trying to win, and he would like to win this weekend. As I mentioned before, I think Hunter's right now, since he is a rookie and he's getting in the form, it's not that he's not trying, especially now that the streak's over. I think he's just got to be comfortable. Like he's not in, he hasn't been in the 450 class to know, okay, I can push through this motorcycle. Like he doesn't know how it's going to react outdoors. And I think when circumstances are fit for him, yeah, I think he'll beat his brother. And especially now that the streak is over, he ain't going to do anything crazy. And I don't think he's going out there to beat him. But he knows if he beats him, he'll win. I just think Hunter has been, it's been more about the bike rather than, especially this weekend, it's been more about the bike rather than he doesn't want to beat his brother because of his streak. Luckily for his brother was out, but we'll find that moving forward. But yes, I do think Hunter will go out there and beat him for sure.
Jay Boosh asks, does Chase have more in the tank or did he gas out in one weekend?
Yeah. So if you're asking me, do I think he's tired from last weekend? No, I don't. Do I think he has more speed than last weekend? No, I don't. But dude really just came from 40th to first. And I don't think he needs any more speed. Now, what will happen will be Chase to be more confident. And I think those almost falls, I think he'll clean that up because now that he's done something. And again, I mentioned about beating Jet Lawrence and all this stuff. Certain things you just never take. It doesn't matter who's on that field. I think Chase is going to ride with confidence. And when you ride with confidence, then you ride knowing that you just feel like things are going to happen the way they're going to happen. So I don't think he'll be faster. I think he'll be more. There's a belief in doing something and he did it in his head. So I think Chase would be better, just maybe not faster. That makes sense.
DP Gill 23 asks, what changes now that Chase has confidence?
DP Gill, what changes now that Chase got confidence? Well, you saw it. What changed between the first moto and second moto? That's what's going to change. Now, I will say the biggest thing, the only thing that he needs to do next is just go out and beat Jet. I don't even know if he needs that for himself or everyone else, but that would be the last step of the puzzle. And then once you see that, then I would say, then that's the best version and he's full in. There's beliefs that he can do anything. But I just think, I don't know. It's like you asked the girl that you always thought was beautiful. You never thought she would date you. And then you ask her out. She says, yeah. And then you go through the one that's maybe more of a default, maybe not on top. She's like, you know, if you like 10, she's 3 good fives or 2 fives. You ask her, you're going to ask her with confidence because the one with the 10 answered. So I think that's Chase Sexton. He asked that one with the 10. She said, yeah. So of course he's going to ask everybody else and have confidence that she's going to say yes to. So we'll find out this weekend. But she said, yeah.
RJQ asks, do you think Jet's confidence after the crash played a major part in his moto too? Will he get that back next week? If so.
RJ, great question. And so I think what he's alluding to is some people think that Jet quit and maybe gave up. I think the kid was hurt. I think what happened was there was a lot of shock for Jet. And again, when he's out there, probably the bike wasn't feeling good. He was hurt. He made his way up. Like he did what he always did. Like he didn't get the best start. I think maybe even got passed in the beginning part, but then he got in rhythm. He started catching them dudes. And then normally he would just catch air. He wasn't able to do that. So I think part of not being able to do that was a shock to him. And the injury and the legs start hurting and his arms gave out. So I don't think Jet gave up. I mean, none of these guys, even when they give up, dude, they ain't giving up like me and you give up. Like you're like, whatever, I'm going to sit on the couch. They always trying. So I don't think it was about that. I just think, yeah, it would help Jet mentally if he goes in and wins this weekend. Then he could just say last weekend was last weekend. And at the end of the day, last weekend was. I just think when you win so many races, I was going to say you win so many damn races. When you don't win one, it seems like the end of the world. And Jet needs to realize that it's not the end of the world. And just like his mechanic said, just go do fast laps. Do fast laps. You do fast laps, you're probably going to win. So keep it back simple, not get caught up in what everybody else thinks. Just go back to do what you did. And that person won 24 races in a row. So I think it'll be fine.
Mark Taylor asks, in hindsight, were there any signs leading up to Chase's win and Jet's fumble that we should have seen? Or was this a complete surprise?
Mark, damn, like my fans, they ask some legit questions. Like it just ain't your average cues out there with stews. These are real. Yeah, there was signs that both things could happen. Like somebody asked me last weekend and I felt like I jumped around answering, but they said, do I think Chase could win? And I was like, yeah, I know he can win, you know, until he does it, then I could continue to think that, but he's got to go do it. He's got to do it for himself. So it's a lot easier. Eventually, he's always had the talent. And last weekend, I said, I think Chase was really the better rider, or he was fast last weekend. He just was one section cost him, and that played out again. So yeah, the signs were there. The problem was, is the one thing that Chase needed to realize and his team needed to help him was, this year is this year. Last year was last year. Things are different. So it's easy to fall into the effect of, okay, last weekend was just like the previous other races. Yeah, you were faster, and yeah, you caught him, but you couldn't beat him. Well, last weekend was different. Even though the results were the same, even though you did the same thing, they were different, and his team needed to let him know they are different. So take this race as this race, considering that it's your first time on this bike, first time outdoors, new number. This dude's won everything. Chase, like, dude, you're in a good spot. The bike wasn't that good. We're going to work on it. We're going to make it better. And if we make it better, you're going to win the race because you were already better. Like, you're better. Chase needed to realize that. So to answer your question, Mark, yeah, we saw last year, Chase was fast. And you guys were laughing at me when I was like, hey, Chase was actually faster in certain parts of the racetrack. He was faster. But this year, the signs have been there. He just needed to go out and do it. And then same thing with Jet. People think that he's out not trying. The dude's trying. I was shocked that given the circumstances and him dictating everything, the kid's been so flawless that it's a shock anytime something happened. He could have stumped his toe and I would have been like, damn, I'm surprised he stumped his toe. That's shocking because the dude's that good. So it's not all things can be true at the same time. Yeah, I saw it's coming and how good Jet's been. Yeah, everyone's beatable. Everyone's beatable. Jet would be the first person to say that. That is not a negative. The streak was eventually going to end. So whether it was last weekend or this weekend, it was. But of course, it's a shock to the system when you see a rider that's so good have that big of a fall. And considering where he was the first lap, yeah, it was a shock. But both things you expect it to happen because they're both trying and they're both damn good. So it's racing.
Cruatan asks, what do we compare that ride to? Stewart, Tomac, or Carmichael style?
Cruton or Cruton, whatever. You know what we compare that ride to? Nothing, because that ride was his own ride. And Chase, dude, I was impressed. Like, yeah, I came from last 40th. Ricky lapped the field once, but we all do it in different ways. You remember Ricky's race, you remember mine's, remember Chase's race as Chase's race. Like, that was his race. And the results, they're all the same, but Jet Lawrence went in 24 races in a row, ended up in the same spot as what Chase did. It's how you got there. And I think we should just be appreciative of what we witnessed. And for me, I was sitting back there as a fan. It was even hard for me to talk. I was literally like, damn, like that was tight. So I think as we go on and years from now, that race is going to be remembered as a Chase Sexton race. And I'll be remembered as the Buds Creek 03, James Stewart, Ricky will be remembered his. Take them all, and they're their own greatness. And we witnessed Chase Sexton in greatness. All right, people, that was it. Amazing question. Cole, can you do me a favor? Can you hit my people with a suntan for him? Please hit him up.
Suntan, next on fire.
All right, people, literally, like, seriously, great question. Great question. Great questions. Make sure we get in there in case we got a lag. Great questions. All right. My favorite time. Well, second favorite time. That was my favorite time. That was a great question. Stews with Stews. And I don't think we got a commercial, so let's get right into it. And this is going to be short and sweet. Chase Sexton. All right. Listen. Forgot it. You got beat. And you didn't get beat 24 times in a row because you weren't there for some of those races. But, you know, we got to a point where we're like, dude, are you going to do it? I knew you could do it. And you knew you can do it, but people stop believing that you could do it. And that becomes a hard situation to do stuff because, yes, you have been fast. And yes, you might have been the fastest person, but you always end up not being the fastest person. Like, how can the fastest person sometimes not cross the checkered flag ever first? And that's what Jet Lawrence are doing. And it takes a lot. I respect my boy Chad Reed. I'm like, dude, that dude can get beat 100 times in a row, but he can still show up and then beat you that one time. And then the last 99 times in the past, like, didn't even matter. That is a mindset that, hell, I don't think I can even do. And that's what makes us shut up. People getting on. That's my phone. Well, I'm mad at my phone. People, I actually know who that is too. I'm sorry, mama. Sorry. I'm talking to my people. Anyways, back to what I was saying. That's a mindset that makes those guys like rare, and I appreciate that. So Chase Sexton, dude, you got knocked down. Well, I don't know if you really got knocked down, but you were down, and a lot of people like been saying you should be doing stuff, and then they know you can do it, but they didn't think you could do it, and you went and did it. And the way you did it this weekend, that was like special, not just special. That was rare. I don't know if we ever seen it. Like, really, I don't know if we ever seen it. And when people say, I don't think I'm for lost for words. Listen, I am lost for words. What is that? That is the definition, like seriously, the definition of stew. So Chase Sexton, you are the definition of this segment of what did I just witness? What did I just witness? Well, we witnessed greatness, and we witnessed Chase Sexton become a master stew. So Chase Sexton, you a stew. And Danger Boy, you a stew too. Like, you already know. Like, you didn't have to call Lefford out. Like, he wasn't going to get tired or not get tired, whatever. You show up at the gate, you just know you're going to show up at the gate. You're going to win. And even when you fall, you're like, look, I fell. Look, there was a bump. What do you expect? Rebound. I don't know. Happened. How dare you ask me that question? How dare you ask me? What are you talking about? I'm waving the flag. That's how you are. So, hey, Deegan, you a stew. You already know. And you starting to get like stew-ish, kind of like you starting to let them know, like, look, don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. And Tom's like that kid that like, look, you want my lunch money? Here it is. Don't rip my shirt. I don't have many of them. So, hey, Deegan, you a stew. And Jet Lawrence, you a stew, bro. You hit the ground hard. Hit the ground hard. You hit that. If that's all you took, if it was chunk just taken out of you, that's at least your words. You hit the ground hard. So you a stew for getting up. And everybody else, Aaron Pleasant, you almost was a stew. Like, you almost was stew. Why you almost was? Because you already been one. So you always stew. You literally gotten the 7. I just can't grow a mullet like you do. And the beard, the stash, I wish I could. I try to go Rick Rawson, but I can't. Like, I just get peach fuzz and I get patches. This is all I got. I wish I could go that. So anyways, Aaron Pleasant, you straight. All y'all stews. But Chase Sexton, definition of the stew. All right, and my next list. Pissed off, stew, confused. We all was confused, like, when we saw Jet Lawrence hitting the ground, because we were like, damn, like, wait. That's how we were. Like, you can bleep it if you want to. I didn't really say it because we were all confused, but then we weren't confused. But I'm just keeping it as Chase Sexton. Stu, this is your moment. But literally, Chase Sexton, Jet Lawrence, all y'all people, we all winners. Why? Because it's going to be a race. And Jet Lawrence comes out and dominates next weekend. Don't be surprised if Chase Sexton continues his role. Don't be surprised if Hunter Lawrence wins next weekend. Don't be surprised. Why? Because there's nothing to be surprised about. Because we see everything. When we think we know, we never know. And I bet you didn't know when Jet Lawrence is out front, he was going to be laying on the ground, laid up. And it just happened. But that's why we go racing. That's why I can't wait to go next weekend with your boy. Be there anyway. And excited to see it. So Chase Sexton, congratulations, Hunter Lawrence. Well, you wrote good too. Congratulations. But hey, Deegan, congratulations. Tom Vial, congratulations. And everybody on TV land or YouTube TV or whatever the hell y'all watching that's at. Congratulations. I'm out. Bye.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.